Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is Miss Not in North Carolina, Bethany McChesney. And we're going to be pretty quick today because we got a great interview with Colin Stever next, and met him down in North Carolina, where I was, where I came third and got me a baton.
Very nice.
Two for safekeeping because, you know, Tara had to leave early, so I had to get her baton. But, you know, I went down with a goal to get a baton. Well, actually, I went down with a goal for Tara to drag me to a baton, and she successfully did it. So, well done, Tara. Good for you. But it was great fun. It was a lot of fun. We talk about it a lot with Colin. But I will just say that the relays, as always, do not disappoint. So fast, so exciting, and so much fun to work as a team. That even like I said, even with Tara, where she definitely, you know, carried me, I still was able to contribute and felt like, you know, I was in a complete waste. So it was,
no,
it was good. It was good. And I mean, I put in a good hard effort. So I'm very proud of what we did. And it is funny because you look at times in any other race this year, I think we would have won with our time, but this one we come third.
And you just, had a very stacked race for mixed doubles.
Yeah, just, and we came just third. 2 seconds.
Wow.
2 seconds. Like, if you watch on our Instagram, you can have it. And even if you just scroll right to the end, you can see where we crossed the line and then the people, boom, right behind us, 2 seconds behind us, who we only just passed on the last lap. Like, it wow. was intense. It was a lot of fun. And North Carolina was a good race. It was different because it wasn't in a major city center. It was almost like the equivalent of, for us, say, outside a town hockey arena.
Okay.
Which had its good and its bad. I mean, it wasn't as glamorous, but the venue was nice. It was extremely well air conditioned, which was fantastic.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, the venue was nice. It was good. Everything went well inside. It was great. But you didn't get that killer atmosphere that maybe you sometimes get in major city or in this great big hotel, casino, or whatever the case may be. But it worked. And by God, it was easy to park at. It was easy to maneuver around. You know, it was easy to get in and out of. There were restaurants close by. They had a nice cantina, like, you know, snacks, burgers, dogs, opened up right in there, right beside the course. I mean, it worked well. So I liked it a lot. Deca still struggles with the ambiance. So eventually, I hope they do figure that out. But
how were the numbers, like the overall participation?
I think it was pretty good. I mean, like, even us, for our team, we were third out of like 20 co-ed teams and stuff. So the co-ed field was definitely the strongest team field. The men's field, I can't remember the guys' names. I do apologize, but they had a really strong win for the men's field and then did drop off the men. The women's might not have been like what you would call star-studded, but it was supremely close. There was, I think, 6 women's teams all in 38.
Bang, bang, wow. Bang.
Like, all super close together. Or mm-hmm. I can't remember if that was the exact time, but they were all within a minute of each other, about 6 or 7 teams. And it came to the point, too, with the women's field, because there were so many unknowns, they had to wait for all of them to finish the different waves because they really didn't know who would be the fast women's teams. Mm-hmm. So what they did with us is, in the first wave, there were some men's teams and there were some co-ed teams because they knew some of the co-ed teams especially would be kind of, they could, you know, estimate who was going to be there. So we knew a little further ahead of time, and same with the men's teams.
Mm-hmm.
But that women's field, albeit maybe not the fastest in history, was ultra competitive. And I think a lot of them had a really good time with it. So yeah, it was a great event. It was a lot of fun and is what we've come to know about DECA. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Philly. That's the next one. We'll be good to go for Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And my next team race. But before Philly, we have London DECA Mile.
Yeah, we're like a month out now from the London DECA Mile. Getting things ready. It will be a fast setup.
be a fast course, and that's important because we need to up our time,
Yeah.
especially the mile one. I'm out of the loop for the mile right now, and I'm not sure if I'm terribly concerned about that anyway. I'm like, I don't know if I really need to race the mile anyway. We've got other races I want to focus on, but we'll see. It's going to be a good race. It'll be a great race, that one too, because I know it'll be a good setup. What was one other thing I was going to say? Oh yeah. Recently, okay, we do like to focus on Canadian Deca a lot. SO Fitness just had Deca Mile there, and as well, I just want to congratulate everybody went, had good times, and put in a good effort. So congratulations to everybody there, and I hope to see you in London for the Deca Mile there. Other than that, Beth, let's go to it because it is a bit of a long interview with Colin, and he's a great guy. So without further ado, Colin Stieffer. Yeah, we were just chatting about Tara's podium outfit.
Yeah, that was did you see the post that the thing that I posted on my story about
Yeah.
you and I thought
Yeah.
that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
At
we had.
least myself. I was just, I might have only been the one laughing, but
Oh no. I was definitely well, and we might as well talk about it. So the deal was she, podiums get delayed and delayed all the time and you take a while. So she's like, she says, I gotta go back and get showered up because we were going to a fancy dinner afterwards, or what. She didn't even say that. She goes, I'm gonna go back and showered, I'll come back and do podiums. And then she texts me, she's like, I've got the best podium outfit ever. So yeah, they had plans and were crunched for time. So,
you should have asked her to bring another one so you guys could have matched on the podium.
well, the worst part was, and this was really bad, so they went home and showered and they looked great, they were all ready to go out. I stank like ass. Like I was just horribly smelly, and I'm like supposed to put my arm near it. I feel so horrible, Tara. Like I
Yeah,
just smell
like
so
everybody
badly.
hold your breath. That's too funny. Too funny.
And you don't notice it until you're standing beside someone who is all fresh and ready to go. Like,
Yeah. Well,
oh,
because
I
for
know.
everybody, it's been a pretty long day, right? So you get there early, before 8 for most people. And then we weren't up on that podium until what, 5:30-ish? So yeah, that's a long time to go without showering.
It was.
Running all around and especially you, because you were busy all day. Like it's not like you only raced,
Well, I raced the one, right? But and by the way, Colin Stieffer doing podcast stuff. Yay. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Introductions
So
done.
we'll do one before. But so I did the relay. I spent my morning chasing you around. And then afterwards kind of got to, I did rest though. Like, I don't, what did you do in between? Because you're not from that area either.
Nope, no. So we hung out, watched some races, talked to some people. We actually hung out at like the power lift, the recovery little area over there. We did the like compression boots, which was awesome. Could have done that for like 2 hours, but and then we just got some lunch, walked around, came back, and kind of just killed time until teams.
So I did that same powerlift thing. I took two stints in those Nomatec pants.
Yes.
Beth, do you have the Nomatec pants?
I've borrowed some for a bit, and they're so amazing, like so good for recovery.
Yeah, I could have sat there, and they had like in the 0G chair. I like could have sat there and watched TV all day for the rest of the day or something, but.
Yes, I feel like we need those for home just because it's like if we're like on like Sunday afternoon when we're like relaxing, it's like I need those on my legs, please.
They're great. But we had the fortunate we had our van. So in between, we did the same thing. We did like rabbited for both the heats and then did some Nomatec, had some power lift, send us some more. We did take some, but we'll take more. And then we actually ate lunch and took a nap in the van because we have a bed in the back of our van. So we went in the back of the van, took a nap and slept, and then came back in and got warmed up for the race later. But dude, you guys burnt me out. That was too much. You guys were going too fast. It was not
I was
fair.
gonna say this, you guys rabbiting both races, like the men's and women's in the morning. How hard is that? I feel like I'm not athletic enough to carry a camera and run, even if I wasn't recording anything. But to keep like, the camera still not keep maintain whatever pace, match whatever pace is the person that you're following. Like, I just feel like that's not a, should not be taken for granted.
The worst part, probably the worst part about it was when we get there, we weren't quite sure what to expect because you never know who's all going to be there, who's all going to be rabbiting, who's going to do what part and what station. And then normally I'm not the fast guy. Normally I'm the station guy that does that kind of thing. But then there just was no other option. So I'm like, great. So now I get thrown to the wolves, no warm up.
Perfect.
And just out, you know, and you guys, no mercy whatsoever. I don't know what pace you guys were running at, but it sucked.
Yeah. Well, you didn't try to keep up with, it was Daniel King, I think, right? In the first 500 meters, he was 125 meters ahead of everybody else by the end of the first 500.
Yep. The first lap I went with him, and then I started thinking in my head, I'm not pleased, Daniel, take no offense if you hear this. I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's going to burn out. So I'm going to drop back and try to catch. So I went one lap with him and the other guy went the other lap with him, I guess. And we dropped back, but I'm like, because he's a sub 15 minute 5K guy is what I hear.
Which is crazy. He was, yeah, cooking. He was cooking.
Yeah.
And I hadn't met him before, so I don't know if that was his first Decafit. I imagine it probably was.
I think so. And to my credit, he did burn out.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think not so much the running, just the power, but man, he was out like fast.
Yeah, well, he knew what his strengths were and he played to them. I can't. If I could run that fast, you bet your ass I'd run that first lap that quick. But I would have to lay down. I would have to take a nap afterwards.
Well, I think part of the thing that was big was you guys were smart enough not to chase him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seemed to be aware of his strengths and let him go. So that was good scouting beforehand. So, you know, we'll talk more about this later. So let's go back a little bit. So where you got on the scene for the hybrid space before then, and then you're just scanning through your Instagram. Were you like CrossFit? Is that what you were doing in that kind of area?
Yep. CrossFit, gung ho, all in. Basically from when I graduated, just right before I graduated college up until last October when I signed up for my first High Rocks, which was in Chicago in November. Okay. So for a solid 4 or 5 years, it was all CrossFit prior to this hybrid Deca and High Rocks.
So why are you running? Because CrossFitters don't run.
No, they really don't. So I played tennis in college, and I ran cross country and played tennis in high school. And so when I started CrossFit, the only workouts that I felt like I was capable, quote unquote capable in, were ones that had, you know, X number of rounds of anything more than a 400 meter run. So if there were mile repeats in there or 800s that you run, like if it's a four rounder with 800 meters, I was going to lose time in the clean and jerks or whatever it is that, or gymnastics movements inside the gym, but I would be able to make it up on the runs. So I actually enjoyed the running part of any workouts, which was the exact opposite of everybody else in class at the time when I started CrossFit. And so that was always kind of what I held on to. So then as I became a little bit more proficient and stuff like that, that just translated into machines. So we did like a lot more machine work, a lot more biking, rowing, skiing. I'm like, well, it's aerobic just like running is. So I should be good at it. Obviously I had to learn the mechanics and efficiency, form and all that good stuff. But all those kind of just fell in line right behind it because it was like, well, if I suck really bad at everything else and I'm pretty okay at running, I should probably just double down on the fact that I like running. By CrossFit standards.
How did you stumble across High Rocks then?
So one of my buddies at the gym, he showed me a video on YouTube, a YouTube video of one of the High Rocks races. I think it was one of the invitationals. I don't know if it was like a Dallas invitational or something like that. He's like, hey, I think you would really like this. And we watched the race together and I was like, yeah, that looks really cool. And so we Googled like High Rocks and went to like the Find My Next Race. And the next race was in Chicago. And that's where my mom lives. So I was like, okay, that's an awesome, my mom will be able to come watch me race. So we'll sign up for it. And then the next day started training for it. And that's kind of how it went. It was very, just worked out well, that way. Like, hey, this looks like something I might enjoy. Let's go for it and try it. And, ran a pretty good first race, and then the rest is history.
So that was 2021, right? And around there?
Of the video that I watched, but then this race was fall 2022.
Okay, because you were in Chicago as well for North American Championships.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, the time I ran in Chicago in the fall, which is Schaumburg, so it's like in the suburbs, qualified me like the 29th of the 30th spot that they rolled down to for the Elite 15. So I got to race in Navy Pier, with all those guys and all those girls, which was a really cool experience. That's the first time I've ever lined up, on a start line or like before a competition or like the before 3, 2, 1 go, where I looked to my right and my left and I was almost, with the exception of one dude, I was the shortest. I'm 6 feet tall. So looking to my left and to my right, I don't look up at anybody like throughout the day. And like in my CrossFit gym, in my gym, I don't look up to anybody because everybody's, 5'7" to 5'10". So like to just
CrossFit gym.
orient my eyes up was weird. I'm like, oh man, now I'm intimidated. But
You were 29th. Did you send Rich Ryan an apology letter after?
no. I'm sure you got plenty of those. But yeah, that roll down process was interesting. It seemed like there was quite a big spread at that at the North American Championship. So I was eighth, so like kind of like right in the middle of the pack. But there were a handful of people that finished behind me significantly that, a month later ran 56, 57 minutes. So is what it is. But it's just the world we live in. Play by, don't hate the player, hate the game? Question mark.
I would think so. Yeah, and definitely that's part of the game that we all hate.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on for days. We've had so many conversations about the qualification. Hell, why the hell you're here? What do you think about the changes they made to the qualifications process? Do you think it helps? Do you think it made a difference?
For HYROX,
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really tough. Just for a lot of reasons, but mostly because before the first, if I understand the timeline right, before the first regional championship of which there's four, there's only two North American races, and one of them already happened. Right? And you need, and I guess I don't know what you have to qualify for, but I'm pretty sure it's the, is it the average of your two races? Fastest races is your time to qualify for these, or am I mistaken?
So the for the first for the let's call them the regional ones, the
Sure.
opens, it's not your average. It's you can qualify in one time for those, but you
Okay.
still need to be in the top 15. So if let's say you get a bit of a stinker of a course like New York was, then all of a sudden you're in the hole already and you got to try to find another one. So now, and we brought this up a lot, like Tara, Alundra, Lauren. Well, Lauren's probably okay, but those ladies that went out there to hopefully get a quick Chris Rogowski to get a quick qual in so they could go into a down phase before they ramp up again. All the shot. And they were all fit because they're
Right.
coming right off worlds, right? So,
And
but their shot's
everybody
off.
performed well. It's not like anybody, like dropped a deuce at the World Championships and this was like a redemption race. It's like everybody's like, okay, I'm feeling good. Let's set myself up for success for this next season coming off of it. So that's unfortunate. And especially for the guys too, because, and I think the only other race before that first regional is Chicago, I believe, in the fall, right? Which, and it's at Navy Pier. Which is according to other people, not myself, because I'm not that experienced. And it is not traditionally a super fast course or historically a super fast course. So most American dudes, if they plan to race domestically, are going to have a rough go.
Yeah, I think if you want to find a fast course domestically, it's switched so much, but I would think Dallas is usually your best bet. But the point is, you shouldn't have to play this game. You shouldn't have to play like, where's the best course? Where's this? Where's that? It should be,
Right.
I mean, you probably did you listen to what was it? Race Brain recently had their solutions to the whole thing where they had, yeah. And you know what?
Like
They
the
had
panel.
some, yeah, and that was cool. It was a good episode. They had some cool ideas, but I will still say that everything was too complicated for HYROX to switch to, especially right now. I'll reiterate it again because HYROX does watch. Make all the regionals open so that you don't have to qualify for them. Don't worry about the grid thing. Save that for Worlds. That solves problem number one. Problem and then top three from each regional goes on to Worlds. Let top three from the last chance qualifier goes on to Worlds. There's your top 15. Time doesn't matter. Sleds don't matter. Bad courses don't matter. It's head-to-head racing the whole way. Done. Simple.
And I'm sure there's factors that like we don't know or don't understand. But from my perspective, you don't want to leave anybody out that should probably be there. Like, you shouldn't make it more difficult for people to be successful. Like, you should set people up for success. Because if you don't and you deter people from it, like it has with certain athletes, that's a shame because then you have really good athletes in this hybrid space that are like, I'm not going to mess with this until, you know, things are figured out. Which, and for like right, wrong, or indifferent, I just don't, I think you want to have the best competition possible there and feel like everybody's got an equal opportunity to express that fitness.
I agree. So you did go to Chicago. You went to North American Championships as the 29th seed.
Proudly. Also, fun fact, at the North American Championships, my jersey, we get the cool jersey that says Powerlift Elite 15, Stifer on the back, Norwegian flag in the front.
Stiefer
One of
sounds
four
Norwegian.
Americans, I got the Norwegian flag. And they suggested like I could put some like duct tape over it. And I was like, I'll just represent it. I love it. I'm here for it. But then everybody like outside of my family is probably like, this guy doesn't even speak English. So
That's
that
like a
was funny. So
collector's,
it's, yeah, that's exactly right. It's a
collector's
cool
item now.
story.
It's like a flawed baseball card.
Something like that. Unique, one of a kind, that's for sure. But and it was a really cool experience. I like to be able to line up and race against those athletes was awesome. I wouldn't trade that for the world. Like that was a very fun experience. I really liked, I learned a lot in that race because that was my first race like grid style. That was, you know, and just again having knowing that everybody that is on your left and on your right of you is fully capable of dusting you on that day is pretty humbling, you know.
That's how I feel at every race lane.
I try to go into it confidently, even if it's naively so.
But you must have had the best, let's call it plus minus, though, from 30 to 8 or 29 to 8. Like, you
Yeah,
had
I
that.
think so. I think so. Bracken on the live stream when I watched Becky called me the high riser of the day, which is a play on high rocks, I'm sure. But yeah, I think that's true. I think it's true.
Right. So after that, though, doubles. You've had a pretty good doubles career so far. You actually did get
Yeah,
to the Worlds.
we went to the World Championships month, a little over, I don't know how long ago it was now, but yeah, and we won our age group and we won the overall, so which was pretty darn cool. And we got the opportunity to travel over to Europe. I never thought I would travel overseas, but this gave us the opportunity to, which was, you know, pretty darn cool. But yeah, my partner Taylor and I showed up and showed out on race day. It was pretty cool. We talked about it with Dylan Scott on a podcast and kind of like debriefed it all. But that was a ton of fun. Doubles, really enjoy doubles.
I find that and we've been talking about this for teams, relays, they're the best races. They're a riot.
And eat like so like full circle and we'll come back. But like our team race on this last Saturday, I would argue again that race was harder than my individual race
Oh,
from
tip.
like a pain standpoint. So much more challenging than the individual race.
Tara posted the same thing. She said, individual race, 8 out of 10 pain. Team race, 11 out of 10 pain.
I feel like it shouldn't be like that, but it was like I think we got off the rower and I don't know who I looked at. It might have been you and I was like, this is not good. And that's station
It
two.
was me. I'm like, this is too fast. This is bullshit.
That was
Was
station
blaming
two
you.
of 10. I was blaming Bubbles because he was sitting next to me. I was like, all right, fine. We'll row really hard. That's fine.
Well, I was doing my row, and I was at the time when my wife was videoing it and looking, and she's like, I was rowing about 135 was my pace.
And that's cooking.
And she's like, you're doing 135, you're doing great. She goes, Bubbles is rowing 128. I'm like, shut the
Like not what I need right now. Yeah, he's very powerful. We hit that. All the machines were very, the paces were really aggressive in that, which they have to be, you know. So it's and 500 meters is not long, but it felt long from about 350, 375 to 500. That last little bit was labored,
All right.
that
So
effort.
you know what, since we're here, talk about your partner.
Bridget Brown?
Yeah.
Or my team of three, my third teammate.
Let's go with Bridget for this one. We go back to Hiram. Let's go for your partner on this one.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think so. We have like in the gym before we've had like ladies that are like pregnant and they're pretty close to their due date. Some like guys sometimes like at the 5 a.m. class or something like that have taped like duct taped medicine balls and done their workout with like to pretend like it's if they're pregnant. And every single time they're always like, even with like a 14-pound med ball, they're like, my back is blown up, or like, man, that was so hard. Like I couldn't even do burpees. I just did up downs, or I can't do a clean with this, you know, whatever it might be. So I can't imagine going through any of that running, let alone the stations. Like she did the box over, like all of those, they're so dynamic, and to have like a barrier in the way of that efficiency, I can't imagine. And she ran both races and crushed both of them. Crushed them. It's crazy. Crazy. Like imagine being 20 or 30 pounds heavier and running repeat 250s or 500s. That's not going to be easy.
And we were briefly talking before, I think it was in the warm-up barrier or whatever. And, you know, and Bubbles and I, and we were saying like, your strategy must have been so much harder to work out.
We'd asked a couple people about strategy just because this was my first like team DECA race. So I was like, okay, there's people that have run this before that have been successful. Let's see what they do. And Bridget and Rich hold the world record for mixed doubles now. So we kind of just followed their strategy, like plus or minus a couple tweaks. And that worked out pretty well. But as it turns out, the stations that she excels at and is confident in and proficient in are the ones where I lack. So it honestly worked out pretty well to be like, we didn't have to argue over who got to do certain stations, because if I didn't want to be one, that was one that she wanted to do anyway.
Did you guys split up the running then? Like did you break them up in half?
Yep, we did. We ran 250s on every run except for the run after the bike. Bridget ran both. So she ran the 500, which is funny because in hindsight, so she ran the 250 prior to station 7, and then we hit the bike. I hit the bike, and then she was right back out for the next 500. Well, that bike took me 24 seconds. So she had 250, no rest, 500. And I think in hindsight, we should have probably switched that up and kept the 250, 250 after the bike. But I was dying at that point in time. So I was not upset about letting her do a little extra work.
In fairness, you guys had a pretty good lead at the time too.
Yeah, but it was pretty close for most of the race. Which is really fun. It is very like that, like back and forth, neck and neck. It's a really fun way to race. It's way to race. It's not a winning's always fun, but if you were to run away with a race, like say from station 2, you've got the lead and you maintain it and extend it throughout 3 through 10, that's awesome. You dominated, but it's also really fun to have that little back and forth, like competitive, like, oh, I got to get my butt in gear on this run because you know, so-and-so is 20 meters ahead of me, you know, whatever that might be. So yeah, it was really cool. That was a really fun race and a really cool way to end the day. I really enjoyed that, the mixed team race.
Yeah. And behind you guys, when you talk about when you get to the bike, so, and we were briefly talking beforehand about bikes, so I want to ask you a question about that, but
yeah,
behind you guys, we were jostling all over the place. Cause when we got to the bike, it was the team who came fourth, I believe, was in second.
Mm-hmm. And Tara, I don't know either. I don't know their names for the team that ended up coming fourth.
And then Tara and I were in third by like 3 seconds, maybe 2 seconds over Bubbles and his partner. And then by the time the bike ended, we were dropped back. I think Bubbles, there were like, it just, everything shifted around. And then it wasn't until the last lap that we ended up into third. And it was so much jostling in behind you guys. So when you say it was close race, and I think I looked at the stats and it was like 3, 4, 5, 6 were all separated by like 20 seconds.
That's awesome.
You know,
so, that's and that's a scary way to race too, especially with those ram burpees at the end, because it's like people can really turn it up. But if you've emptied the tank as you probably should have by that point, max effort is not the fastest ran burpees you've ever done, you know? So you're like, Tara, I'm trying. And, you know, it's like, she's probably like, I'm sure she's watching. She's like, come on, Dave, you got it. Let's go a little faster. You're like, this is 110% and my gas tank is empty.
We got to the burpees and we were planning 5-5-5-5. We got there and she dragged me around that last run and came in there and she started and she did her five. She's like, I'm going to do 10. And I'm like, it's a good idea.
If you must.
So she did her 10, I did the 5, we did the 5, and it actually probably was a good thing because we were only 2 seconds ahead of fourth place. So,
well, and getting across that finish line too. So I don't know what station, where in space in relation to the entrance and the finish line were you guys doing your ramp burpees at?
We got right close to the front. Like
okay. Because, so then you got that like sprint to the finish.
And you never want to have someone in between you so that you have to hop over them, right? You want to get as close as possible. Right. So I think it was, wasn't it Rylan and Kent? They had that at the finals at Champions World Championship where Kent had to kind of give a little hop over Rylan's legs at the end of it. And yeah, so it's, I think it's a little thing that can turn into a big thing.
For sure. Yeah, well, and you've put in all that work too. And it's like then to potentially lose it in the last second on like a feat of agility and athleticism or lack thereof is unfortunate.
So the bike thing.
Yeah.
It seemed when DECA first come around, people were doing the bike and like a good time was like 60 seconds and that, you know, and now 15, 25, 23, like what has changed that has gotten every, like, especially these powerful dudes getting these fast bikes in now?
Look, oh, that's a good question. I don't have an answer for you, but I want to imagine kind of like anything, practice, time, efficiency. I don't know. Cause like, I'm trying to think of a good example. So CrossFit Mayhem put on a like Legends competition in the fall, December, Legends. Actually.
They're great comps.
Yeah. And teams had traveled from like all over the world for this competition. And one team had come from South Africa and they like leading up to this competition, they trained at my gym because it was, you know, it's like a couple miles away. And this, one of the guys that I met, his name was Ruin. He had done like an assault bike challenge, whatever it was, I don't know, but it was 50 calories per time. And I think he put it down in like 22 seconds or something like that. 22 seconds, 50 calories. Granted, when he walked into the gym, his calves were bigger than my entire body. So like when he walked into the gym and I'm like, I have to go tell this guy that I own this gym. Oh no. It's a really, really nice guy, but like just the ability to produce power on a machine specifically, the more time you spend on it, assuming you're powerful and you're fast switch and you've got the like reserves, once you learn how to like maximize the efficiency, you're going to get better, especially because on the assault bikes too, you see like people that smash the assault bike, like Bubbles, for example, he starts, you can literally like see him ramp into it. Like when he starts, it's not like max effort, everything you got from the second he hits the start button, he like eases into it. And then he knows something about like how to ramp that up farther than most people can. Cause like, I can't even imagine. So he did those 25 calories in 15 seconds, right? I don't know what RPMs he hit on that bike. I don't know because I've never touched it.
No, and he's got to be like 1700 watts somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Crazy. Like I imagine the bike probably like, since it's changing so fast, he probably doesn't even see it. It's probably just like blurry digits. You know, it's not like an actual number.
Yeah, yeah. And, which, and for reference for anyone who like does DECA and is on the bike and whatever, and just to try to keep you on, if you do the bike at around 650 watts, you'll get your 25 cal done in about 45 seconds in and around there. So to get it done in 15, it's got to be, it's north of 1500 watts anyway.
For sure. For sure. And with the assault bike elites that they have, that's the best machine to do it on because those are the, you know, the heaviest duty built of the assault bikes, you know? So it's like, those are going to withstand it and they've got the power. If you can put it in there, they can handle it, but they probably don't see that kind of power all the time.
It's crazy.
So
So
if you did 24 seconds in the relay, how long did it take you on the bike then when you did your solo?
I think like my official split was like 102. They actually haven't posted the breakdowns yet, so I haven't seen it online. That was just based off live stream with the in and out. So I think my bike was like, I don't know, 56 or 57 seconds or something like that. In the individual race, at least this time, when I got on, I ramped it up, tried to touch 90, didn't quite RPMs, 90 RPMs, tried to touch it, didn't quite get there, topped out at like 88, and then petered off to like 80, 81 by the end. And that got me my 50 something seconds.
So you were slightly faster on your individual than I was in the relay.
I try, you just, in my research, and by research, I mean watching all of the ones that they have posted on YouTube, which are wonderful. That's where, in some races, that's make or break, is you get to that, well, honestly, for most people's race, because if you get there and you don't have any energy or power to put into that machine, you could drop from first to fifth, like, in the blink of an eye. Like, there are people that come in looking so strong, and, like, maybe they were, whatever, for whatever reason, they can't put out on that assault bike, and people will just blow by them. And I feel like that kind of energy that you get from a swing like that, you can ride it out the rest of the way. It's going to hurt really bad. You might be blacking out or feeling like you want to throw up for the rest of the race, but you can kind of hold on knowing that you had that kind of energy swing, you know?
Something one of the stations that seems to be and did play a pivotal role in the women's division, and it might have gone unnoticed, is the tank. It used to be
Okay.
everybody thought the tank was just the tank. You just push it at the speed it is, and it is what it is. But I'm noticing now, and maybe it's because people are coming into it more exhausted because they've learned to dump more on the bike, they've learned to do this now, but it's becoming more pivotal. And if you take the example of Michelle Navarro, she went in there in second place. She lost 40 seconds of her lead on the tank.
Wow.
And I mean, that's as monstrous as a swing if you ever get on the bike. And I am starting to see it more often. And I think it's because people are becoming more fatigued on the bike and because they're pushing so hard there. And then they're coming to the tank and forgetting just how hard it is to push that thing back and forth with any pace.
Do you think that that comes both in the push and the pull? Or do you think that's partially like an inefficiency in like the pull, for example?
I don't know. The pull is still skeptical. Like it's still up in the air for me is to try to figure what is the best strategy and for the situation. Do you walk? Do you row? I mean, obviously, if you got a slick floor, you're going to row and get the slide going. But if the floor is gripped, do you walk or do you row? And is it personal preference or is there a better way? I've found for me, I've noticed if I want to really pull fast, I like sink my ass, drop the hips, and lean back, and you can get some real speed. But it burns the quads like mad. It just obliterates them in like one length. So I'm trying, me personally, I'm trying to figure out a mixture of that and the row, you know. So, like, get to the end, one big row, burn the quads a couple of steps, you know, and get kind of three rows across with some pull in between. So, I don't know. It's just, I've just noticed it's becoming more pivotal.
For sure. And with that row technique too, I've been practicing it. And if you get into that tank fatigued and you go with the row, but you don't have that pep in your step to get like a little bit of a jog backwards, it's not that efficient. Like at that point, if you don't have that like juice to kind of bounce, like use the freedom that you got from that row to get some not time under tension movement backwards, why even do it? So like at the on Saturday, I gave it one row after the first pull, like starting my first pull, and I was like, oh, I'm gassed. And then I just walk it back the rest of the time. No more rows. Because I was like, I can't hop it back because I just don't have it.
I like a
You
row
know?
right at
And
the
then
end, right at the last bit.
yes, the little one, because then you can fall right back into the push.
And it saves the extra couple steps. So, but
And it's
yeah, that's
probably
what I
a
was
better move too. So
playing with it mathematically for one row at the start, one in the middle, one at the end.
there you go.
See how that goes. But yeah,
Yeah, it's interesting.
I have to have more of
You
the
can
fitness to
definitely,
make it work.
sorry, go ahead.
I said I have to have more of the fitness to make it work.
But in theory, it's perfect. There you go. Yeah, it's a definitely like, kind of like an overlooked station. I feel like there are several stations that are like that where I don't want to say that they're overlooked because they're equally as important as all, each station is equally as important as the other. But like things like the box, or okay, so going into my first DECA fit in Knoxville, with like the box over and the sit-ups and like the dead ball over. I was like, these are like a fixed time movement. So I'm really not going to practice these that much because it is what it is. You're going to get through it. It's going to be pretty quick. And then you're just on to the next. Well, across those three stations, I think I lost like 15 or 20 or like 25 seconds to Nick Recker, who won in Knoxville. And I was like, man, what the heck? That's significant. Like, so then, you put the time in on those because you're like, there's no one station that is just like a go through the motions. There's not. Not even the farmer's carry. Because if you slow down a little bit, or if you get lazy and you fumble the dumbbells as you're picking them up, or you start heading in the wrong direction because you got lazy and you didn't like look at the arrow on the floor, like all of that stuff makes the difference.
Bubbles tried to jinx me on the farmer's carry.
Uh-oh, what'd he say?
Before the starting line, he goes, if you set the farmer's carry down, you lose your sponsorship from Duonamic because they make our pull-up door frame things. And I'm like, I don't set down farmer's carry. And I thought I made ground on him on the farmer's carry, but then I went back and watched the video and he actually got me by 2 seconds. And I'm like, damn it.
Oh.
I thought I had him on one, but no.
He was playing mind games out there in the mixed relay or in the team race, wasn't he?
He always is.
Oh man, that's like, yeah, that kind of mental warfare is not fair. That's not part of the race.
He's a great guy and he's been very helpful. So I got nothing but time for Bubbles, but he is a lot of fun out there. And when we did have the 2 second, 3 second lead on him before the bike started and I got tagged by Tara and I saw him getting tagged. I'm like, well, that was a waste.
Yeah, that you probably try to just go tunnel vision at that point, right? You're like, okay, don't look to my right. It is what it is. I don't even want to listen. If I could put in earplugs right now so I don't hear that bike ramping up, that would be great.
Oh no, there's nothing you could do. All you could hear was just like the rah from the bike going, and then everybody going, oh my God. And the announcer going, 15 seconds. You're like, I got 10
Dang
calories
it.
left.
Yeah, and then it's over and you're like, and yeah, at least
Yeah.
it's that waste, but that's
Son of a bitch.
whatever. Yeah.
What'd you think of the mats on the lunges?
So I know we talked about them before. So
Yeah.
like in the starting corral before the team race, a lot of I think everybody except for you and me were like, can we remove those mats? I don't want them. And
Yeah.
I think in the individual race, if I'm not mistaken, Tara just did her lunges directly to the side of them. She's like, I don't want to mess with this. I like the lunges because there have been many, or excuse me, not the lunges. I like the mats because there've been many a workout where you get a little bit. When you're trying to go quick, the ground comes faster than you think it does sometimes. And cracking my knee against the ground is just not fun. And it's only the first station. So I'd rather feel a little bit more unstable and have that padding for my knee that's going to the ground than maybe being a second faster. Maybe
Yeah.
that's just me being extra cautious. I like the mats.
That
So
is
what
an
about the turning sideways? Like I've seen some people where their feet are on the ground and they've turned sideways, so just their knee is on the mat. I think I imagine then, so your back foot is elevated, right? Because your back foot's going to
Yeah.
be on the mat and your knee's going to be on the mat. You have
Yeah.
to make sure that you pick your back foot up high enough when you start the lunge to where you don't kick that mat. And I think that I would be nervous to kick the mat and then have it like bunch up or something like that and cause problems. But that is a good strategy. You would just have to practice it, I feel like.
Kevin did it that way. I watched back the
Did it
video
work?
and it did. Yeah, he had a pretty good lunge. And I found it normally, like you said, I was with you in saying, oh, I like the mats because I mean, I'm an older guy, my knees are what they are. And normally I like the extra padding. But on that one, I felt so wobbly. And I wear, like when I do a Deca Strong or whatever, I wear these low kind of minimal ultras that, and this time I was actually wearing their ultra super shoe with the higher stack and then the. And it, so it, yeah, I felt wobbly and I had one of the worst lunges I've ever had.
Oh no.
So.
Those are pretty thick mats. I'm sure we could probably like you could get away with just two of the thinner mats on top of one another and it would work just fine. I don't think going from whatever, a quarter inch of padding to a half an inch of padding really makes much of a difference
No,
in
and
terms of like how it feels for your knee. But in terms of stability, standing on it definitely makes a difference.
And I think they play, obviously they're playing with it and they do have to cater to the 80% to the to a lot of the open waders and stuff who, they want that knee padding. They're not concerned about super speed. They just want to not injure their knees on the floor. So it's a tough game for them to play. We'll have to I might have to figure out a way like Tara did just to do it off to the side or turn sideways like Kevin. We're gonna have to play with some of that.
Yeah, we definitely have to practice that just because Yeah, you want to stay efficient. And if you kick the mat, or if it's like slides out from underneath you on your back foot, so say your back foot hits and then you slide before your knee hits the ground, now you're doing a really long lunge. That could be a pro that could be a little dicey too. So I don't know.
So you're sitting on the edge. You put in, what was it, a 30 what for that race?
30:46.
30:46. So you're encroaching on getting sub 30. There's only, I think, four or
Get
five
close.
guys that have gone sub 30, right? I think we're
Do you know who they
talking,
are off the top of your head?
I would say Rich Ryan, Ryan Kent, David Magida,
Rylan.
Rylan Shadegg. And is there one more? Is it just the four?
I don't know the answer to the question.
Well, I could do that lookup thing.
Like
Beth,
internet over there or something?
you ask an intelligent question. I will stall and look it up.
No, I was gonna say I will look it up while you keep talking, Dave.
yeah, but that 30:46 was a minute and 9 faster than my first race, which was in Knoxville.
Not.
So we're trending in the right direction, learning, getting more efficient at those stations, and my run was significantly faster as well.
Yeah, well, you looked, the one thing I noticed, and I mean, I was talking to Yancey as we were doing the rabbiting, as he was talking about some of the other guys coming from behind, working on catching up to you. And he's like, yeah, this guy's starting to move, this guy's starting to move. And I'm like, he's not losing time on the runs. Like, this isn't getting easier for me. So it's like, I'm like, he's not dropping back. And it wasn't, I don't think it was till after the bike where I got a bit of a reprieve. And I'm like, okay, this was the first time where I felt the pace dropped a little bit. It still wasn't slow. It just dropped a little bit. And but so did everybody else's. So I was like, no, I said he's, and barring a huge mistake, he's not getting caught on this. But who was it? Oh, what was his name that ended up second place? He was running very well.
Yeah, Joseph Cotto.
Cotto, yes, that's right.
That's how he pronounced his last name. And I try to get those right because everybody always says my last name wrong. So he says Cotto. Yeah, his 5K was 17, mid 17s, like 17:30 something.
He was
That's
cooking.
crazy.
He was cooking, but you could tell, especially when you got to the tank, he made a really large push before the tank and a large push on the start of the tank. And then you could just see that was the last match he had. And
Hurrah, yeah.
yeah, and that was it. He gave it his best shot. And I think it was the right time. He did what he could and put in a spectacular race. So really, again, put his name on the announced his presence at the door as well.
Yeah,
So
because that was his first deck fit.
yeah, so he will be dangerous when he learns. I would be stunned to not see him in the top 20 at Worlds as well. All right,
Yeah,
Beth, what'd you get?
absolutely.
So last season we just had four guys under 30, but so VJ was 30:04.
Oh, so he's right
Ooh,
there.
doesn't count.
Nope, sorry, VJ. Maybe he'll
Yeah.
make the
Yeah,
team
so those names that we mentioned were the four that were sub 30 last season.
next week. There you go. I'm gonna take credit for that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there. I mean, I think. I mean, those guys know, but like, as you get closer, once you're there, right? So whatever that. Once you hit that like sub 30 mark or whatever, and whatever the equivalent is for females, there's such a small, like margin for improvement. So it's like, where are you going to save a couple seconds? And if you have the potential to save a couple seconds, like in a station, for example, are those 2 seconds that you might shave off, are you going to give those back somewhere else because that sends you over the edge?
And you
And I
need a
don't,
good,
I mean, go ahead.
you need a good course too. And I think even though DECA is much more standardized than, say, HYROX, there are still good courses and bad courses. And I would wager three of those four guys got the same sub 30 in West Palm last year.
Oh,
Because
really?
it was a good course.
So what would you say then makes the like, because I thought the Decafit course is always set up the same. So then what makes a bad course for a Decafit?
Bethany, I have the same question as you.
So from my understanding, at that particular West Palm course where they were doing the tank, the floor was somewhat dusty. And so if you did the row technique with the tank was not gripping the floor, so it was sliding more and not giving you the resistance that it would normally get. So a lot of guys made up some good time there. And it can have a lot to do with people on the course, angles of the corners, things like that, humidity, temperature in the building, a lot of stuff like that. So if you get a good course, you can get a lake. It can play a difference. It's nowhere near the margin, like a High Rocks course where you can, you're dealing with apples and oranges in their courses,
Well,
but it
yeah,
can.
High Rocks, we're talking like 2 to 5 minutes difference with
Yes.
courses. Like this with DecaFit, it's still like the margin of error is much, much smaller still.
Yeah. And the other things too is in that particular West Palm, it was just a preview for Worlds and all the best guys were there pushing each other. And so you get all
Yeah,
those guys
maybe
pushing
it's
each
just
other, they're going to
even
go to a
having
better.
people.
Yeah. Just having, because I mean, you know, if you had, say, in this situation here, like Kodo did push you, but if you had Nick Riker with you again, that's going to push you harder, right? You're, you know, you have that person right beside you. It'll drive the scores, no, the times down. So,
Yeah. Now I
situation.
will say out on the course too, when I knew when I had a rabbit next to me or behind me a little bit, hearing those footsteps is helpful
Yeah.
because you know, like you can convince yourself, like there were a couple times where I'm like, that's Joseph, I gotta go, you know. Like can't slow down now. And then I round a corner and I'm like, oh, that's Shannon. Cool. Hey Shannon, how are you doing? You know. But like that it is like it gives you that sense of urgency, which I found to be very helpful.
Yeah, anytime you get that last that chaser, especially if the at the end, right? In that, if you're going into those burpees feeling confident, you're gonna put in a solid burpee. If you're going into those burpees being chased, you're gonna put in a deadly burpee. And you know, that can be the difference of 10 seconds right there. Like it's all the that's all part of the game.
For sure.
So obviously you're set, you're headed to Worlds. Are you planning
Hopefully.
to yeah, I would say your time's safe. I mean, honestly, I think this year, last year, to get into the top 12, you were looking at like a sub 32 in and
31-28.
around, okay, 31:28 to get in the top 12. But there was the roll down because I mean, Jack
Yeah.
Bauer was the last one on there.
So Jack Bauer was 31-47.
So, yeah, so sub two this year, it's down to top 20. But let's be realistic, you don't want the top 20, you want the top 10. So, I think to be in the top 10, you're going to have to be sub 31, which you are. So I would wager your time is good. That said, it wouldn't hurt to go out to West Palm.
Though that's the word on the street is that's where everybody's going to be.
It'll be at West Palm will be a hell of a race. It will be crazy again.
That's a cool way to rate. It'll be interesting to see because then it's like people that run spectacular races when the field's stacked like that, they might be seventh, eighth, whatever it might be, and they still put down a blazing fast time and they ran a great race and nobody really saw it because one, two, and three also ran an amazing race, you know.
Tara and I talked about that where she did a team race with Johnny, oh, Johnny Manz. I can never say Johnny's last name, but anyway,
Okay.
they ran a race at
Mars.
Maras. Thank you. And they ran a 28 and came fourth.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just like, it depends who shows up. And then, and we looked at our time from this year and from this race, any other race this year so far, we would want. So it just depends who's there and stuff. So yeah, that last race is going to be a good one because you'll have people who haven't qualified yet trying to go for it, and you'll have others like yourself who have got a time in but want to improve it because they're worried about getting knocked out. It's just going to be a killer race.
And that so West Palm is the last race that you can qualify for the championships this
Yes.
season, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe a silly question, but is leave I don't want to say putting all your eggs in one basket, but is leaving your first DecaFit of the season the last race of the season? Where does that fall in terms of what does that say about your confidence as an athlete or your, you know, because there's a lot of factors that go in. You could be the fittest guy in the room, but you could get food poisoning the night before, or you could sleep like crap the night before, or you could be sick. Like if you fly, like there's a lot of outside factors that affect your ability to perform on any given day. So what do you think about leaving your first qualifying time, even if you're a stud, to the last race of the season?
Well, I mean, unless there's a reason that you have to do that, I think it's super risky. Because again, like being an athlete and doing this a really long time, there's just like you said, there's so many things that for everything to align on one day, in a year with, you know, training and with travel involved and illness and everything like that. And you have to get, you know, nutrition right and all these things and sleep right. I think it's pretty risky, in my opinion. Unless, like, you could have a bad race and still qualify, which again, you know, you're talking about a, like you said, like super stud, but I don't know if I would risk it if I didn't have to.
I would put it somewhere between arrogant and stupid.
Yeah.
That's me. No, because I
It's
mean,
probably a perfect combination of both.
yeah, well, you think about it. In any other sport, like pole vault, weightlifting, high jump, something along that lines where you get three tries at something. CrossFit, you're going to put out a max rep, max lift. You don't go out on your first attempt and put in a max rep, even though you're warmed and ready to go. You go out and put in a good quality, safe lift. Then your third one, you swing for the fences a little bit.
Right.
And then if you get it, great on your second one. And then your third one, it's like, well, if I missed my swing for the fences, now I'm going to up my good quality lift just a little bit and try to get my, damage control in, if you will. So I think you would, in my mind, I would take the same viewpoint. At the very least, I'd be hitting two races, one to get a good solid time in, where I've paced myself and run my plan properly. And then another one where maybe I'm going to push it a little harder and risk blowing up to get a really, really good time in.
Well, and I think there's enough races throughout the DECA season, and they're spread out like across the country far enough that you have access to at least a couple. So, like, we drove to both Knoxville and North Carolina pretty comfortably. Like, it wasn't too crazy to be able to go to both of those.
And
So,
by
are you asking that question because you want to know the likelihood of someone showing up at that last race and like bumping you out of the top 10?
No, not me specifically, but like, yeah, like hypothetically, say that last race of the season that's going to be stacked. Could there be seven people that come in and drop a time that's good enough to qualify that haven't raced yet this season?
Well,
That's the hypothetical.
realistically, you've got Northeast left, right? So Philly area. And then we've been saying West Palm, but actually that was last year. It's Orlando is where it is this
Orlando,
year.
yeah.
Back down to Florida. So that means at one of these races, Kent, Rich Ryan, Dylan, pardon me,
Rylan.
Rylan, Anos, because I don't, Anos may have a time. I don't know, but these are all big guns that were in the final last year. That I'm not sure if that, well, I know, I'm not sure about Anos, but I don't think any of those other four guys have times yet. Megiddo, they're going
I
to be at
know Ryan
one of the two
Kent
or
does.
two of
He
the
ran
two.
one.
Did Ryan Kent run one?
And so did
Oh yeah,
Rylan.
that's right.
Rylan ran
He
the
did.
first one of the season. But yes,
Okay.
I guess, yeah, those are the examples. Yeah, like Rich Ryan hasn't run yet. David Magida hasn't run yet.
Yeah. So there's still some guys who have not run yet and only two races left. And then there's guys like Ryan Kent and Rich Ryan Rylan who say you say have run a race. They're probably going to want to put in one more to really anchor themselves in unless they're completely confident with the time. And even
Yeah.
still, you're probably going to want to go to Orlando. Like they're probably going to want to go Orlando. Tune up race, get ready, really analyze fitness and where they're going so they can get that last training push in before December. So yeah, to just for a person to just show up at that last one to me says they're not taking it really serious, or again, they're arrogant or stupid. And I
Yeah.
don't want this to sound the wrong way, but that's the kind of thing Hunter would do.
Yeah.
No.
Well, yeah, but that I don't think he wouldn't argue with you. He wouldn't tell you that you're wrong.
No.
He'd be like, oh yeah, but the arrogance is like
It's earned.
97% and it's 3% stupid. Yeah.
And it's earned. It's earned. His arrogance is earned. I mean, the dude's a machine. But,
Yeah.
and I wish he would come out. I'd love to watch him go out there, and I'd like to see how he'd do. I think people would be surprised at the fight he'd have on his hands.
It's definitely a very different race, that's for sure.
So you got that coming up. High Rocks. What's your plans for High Rocks this year?
Well, the first I plan on racing in Chicago in November because again, my mom can come watch, my family can come watch, so that's really cool. And then we'll see from there. I don't have like a whole like game plan for the season laid out, just because there's not an official rule book for this season put out yet or anything like that. So everything that we do know or everything that we think we know is subject to change. So I think until we have like a concrete, like, hey, this is the path you have to, or these are your options if you want to qualify for whatever it is that you might want to do. It's kind of hard to game plan, especially with how much travel you have to do. So we'll figure that out when it gets a little bit closer. But keep training, stay ready. I'll have to put in a deck of strong and a deck of mile time, which will be fun. And I'm a little bit nervous about the deck of mile. I think that's going to be hard. I'm excited to do the deck of strong because that's a short chipper. And hopefully both of those go well.
Yeah. I think the mile, to many people will say that one hurts the most.
That's what I'm scared of. Because, so, coming out of a station in a fit, right? It takes sometimes, depending on what the station is, it takes you a second to get up to speed. But definitely by that second lap, you're ready to run. You've recovered enough because it's taking you whatever. You've had 30, 45 seconds, whatever it might be. In the mile, your run's only 160 meters. So you got to get up to speed right away. There's no time to feel sorry for yourself. And if you do, then, you're not maximizing your potential. So you got to get up to speed and stay there. And you can't feel sorry for yourself. In the strong, it's easy to not feel sorry for yourself because you don't have any time. You're taking 3 steps until you get to your next station, and then you're in it. You got 160 meters to feel sorry for yourself, which really adds up.
So the hope is to compete at all three at Worlds.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. And especially since this year, if I'm not mistaken, they're all on different days, right? One's
Yes.
Friday, one's Saturday, one's Sunday. Yeah, I think that would be really cool to be able to compete in three. And I think I have the potential and the ability to do it. I just need to execute.
Are you going to dabble in the relay too, or are you going to just stick to the individual?
That I would love to. I would love to. I think that would be really fun. And plus, I think Bridget and I can do well. I think we could do pretty well in a race like that. I don't know how much race volume is too much race volume for a weekend. So really, I would have to ask people that have a lot more knowledge than me about like, hey, is this good idea, bad idea? What are the right things to prioritize? If I do this, am I sacrificing it somewhere else? Because come the end of the weekend, if the strong is on the last, is on Sunday morning or something like that, and you've run four races up to that point, are you going to have the ability to put out on Sunday morning? There's a decent amount of recovery. It's only, I mean, two workouts a day for 2 days is not the end of the world given the duration and the volume that you're going to put in, but the intensity is going to be so high that like, you're going to be a little bit beat up. So I guess I just don't know personally in this style if that amount of beat up is going to be too beat up, if that makes sense.
Well, I think the only ones who really tried it last year from the men's side, Dylan, but Dylan didn't race the strong.
Okay. Dave
And
Megita was probably the only one.
yeah, Megidda did both. Now he actually, and he ended up doing very well in the last race. That's where he got his podium in the last one. And obviously him and Mark Audette won the men's relay. But in my mind, if I was a competitor focusing, and then I mean, and the money is in the individual, that's where you're really going for it. I mean, even if it costs me, 1%, 2% of my speed in going into that strong, and I'm hopeful to do well in the strong, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it
Right.
is a lot of fun.
And I think that's the thing too. It's like, yeah, but just think about the fun that we'll have.
It's a lot of fun. All
Right. Well,
about the fun.
and those races are a blast. Like I thoroughly enjoyed that team race on Saturday, and like more than I thought I was going to. I thought it would be, given how much you split up the work, at least relative to High Rocks, I didn't really know what to expect or how it was going to feel, but like it hurt really well. Like it was satisfying finish that crossing that finish line because you're like, yeah, I don't really have anything more left in this tank right now.
There was some great videos of all of us, like just mass of humanity sprawled out on the floor across it. We were running out of real estate on the end of that floor.
Yeah. And if there was no reason to get up, I would have stayed down on the ground for a good chunk of time. But there's a lot of people there. You're like, all right, get up, stop breathing so heavy. Everybody's gonna know.
Awesome. Well, Beth, do you got anything else for calling for tonight?
No, I don't. Thanks so much, Colin. It was awesome to see your race this weekend and congrats on your double podium weekend. And we look forward to seeing you out at DECAs in the future and all the best with the rest of your season.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys. Thank you so much for having me on. And thank you guys too for, you know, all that you do in terms of like coverage and stuff like that. I think it's really cool and it's been huge for me. I like being able to go back and watch these races and stuff like that. It's huge. Like not only like other, I don't know the right way to say it. I'm very, very grateful that you got guys have the coverage and like we have like rabbits out there on the courses and stuff like that to make it so that we can go back and not only see your own like my own performances but other people's and like then I can go back and I can watch like Molly's race who raced in the elite afterwards and like things like that. It's really cool to be able to go back and watch them. So I really appreciate it. All that everybody does to put on a good event, I think it's really cool.
Awesome, man. That always makes our day and really appreciate it. And it makes it worthwhile because financially it's not worthwhile. So it makes our day. Everybody enjoys it. So it's awesome. Really appreciate it. And a quick note too, thank you to everyone who came and say hi. I had a couple of great random encounters with people who are fans and watch the show and listen. Janet, I promised I'd say hi. One honestly, one lady I right before the men's race, I had to get her to hold the gimbal because I had to tie my shoe. And
Perfect.
She's like, "Oh, you're Dave Clax." I'm like, "Yeah." So she's like, "Oh, I love the show." I'm like, "Oh, it, like honestly, right before there, so maybe this was great." So thank you to everybody who is listening and watching and paying attention and helping us along the way. And thanks a lot, Colin. And can't wait to see you on the next race, bud.
Awesome. Cool. Take it easy, guys.